to give. Praise the Lord. Grace to give. Grace to give. I crave your indulgence because this is one of those days when it just seems like I'm rambling. So if it seems as if I'm just rambling, bear with me. We're talking about the grace to give. How many people know that giving is actually, you know, it's a grace? There's some people that want to give, and they can't. There's some people that have so much, yet they struggle to give. There's some people that don't have, but desire to give. There's some that have, and they go all out to give. I believe giving is, it's a grace. Some of us don't have an issue when it comes to giving. We can give. But there are even levels. Some of us, like Paul said, that is willing to spend and be spent. That's the kind of people we are. We go all out. Everything. There are some people that you wonder about them. You're like, do you ever plan? Do you ever plan? Because, are you okay? You need something? I'm there for you. I'm there for you. I'm there for you. They're there for everyone. They're using their resources. They're giving everything. They're giving their all. And you wonder, how do you survive? Where do you get the strength? Where do you get the funds? Where do you get the resources to keep going? In Philippians 3:1, Paul was talking to the people in Philippi. It said that, as some people say, Philippi, tomato, tomato. He said that, you know, to repeat the same things over and over again for him, that it's not tedious, but that for the people of Philippi, that it is safe for him to go over. He says, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. One of the things I was struggling with was the fact that during Sunday school, we looked at tithes, you know, the blessings of tithing and all that. And I kept asking myself, why should we be talking about grace to give? Are we not going to be repeating the same message? Are we not going to be going over the same thing over and over and over again? And I was struggling with that. Is this what we really need to be talking about? But I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to talk about it. I believe that there's someone here that needs to hear the message. I once heard the story of a man that was very upset with his pastor. And why did he get very upset with his pastor? The accusation was that his pastor did not teach him about giving, about tithing. Why should we give? What is it all about? And pretty much it was an indictment against that man of God that the congregation don't know about giving, what it's all about. I'm not promising that in the next 30, 40 minutes we can exhaust giving. We cannot. We cannot. It is a massive, massive topic. But we'll just touch on a few things. We're saying that, you know, giving is a grace, and it's something we should all desire. Why should we give? Why should we give? First and foremost, you have to think about giving as an expectation from God. There is an expectation to give. During the Sunday school, we looked at the book of Malachi, and we'll read it again, Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 12. Malachi 3, 6 to 12. It says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be enough room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that it will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, the verse 11 talks about robbing God. And I thought to myself, will you rob something? What does it mean to rob? If you're robbing someone, it implies that you're taking something that belongs to that person. Or you're withholding something that belongs. So in robbing an individual, you can be taking what belongs to them. Or you can be keeping what is theirs, not giving it. So I can rob by taking. So you have it, I take it from you. But then robbing is also what is rightfully yours. I don't give to you. And that is where God is coming from here. That yes, you're robbing me. Why? Because you're not giving to me my rightful due. Praise the Lord. So what is God's rightful due? What is rightly due to him that we're withholding? He says tithes, offerings. Then you look at, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ was talking in Luke 6:38. The famous verse about give. Give and it will be given to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men will give to your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. There is an expectation to give. We say it in the Old Testament, we say it in the New Testament. What are we given? Again, we talked about that during the Sunday school. So many people, I liked the answers that were given. Some said, you know, you give yourself, you give your life, your totality, you give your substance. I mean, someone mentioned in Psalm 3, verse 9, it says you should honor the Lord with your substance. What is your substance? Your wealth. Now, when you talk about wealth, we know that wealth, we're not just talking about money. The fact that you're even in good health suggests that you're wealthy. Honor God with your substance. Give your substance. Give your time. How much of our time do we give to God? How much of our time do we give to our fellow men? How much of our time do we dedicate to the things that are important to us? So let us be clear that when we're talking about giving, it's not just about money. A lot of the times we talk about money, and yes, a lot of my references will relate to money. But in giving, we're not just talking about giving money. Like we said, you can give yourself, you can give your time, you can give your substance. It's one thing to devote yourself to certain things. It's another thing to use your resources. There are some of us who are very good when it comes to, oh, there's a need somewhere, we'll give. But come, we want to do something together. No, my time is precious to me. I cannot let go of my time. I have my priorities. My priorities are me, myself, and I. There are things I need to get sorted. So I really don't have time. I don't have time because I need to go to work. I don't have time because I need to take care of the children, my children. I don't have time because I have to go to school. I don't have time because I need to study in the library. I don't have time because, and the list goes on and on and on. But if you say, oh, we need money for this, we're very eager. It doesn't cost me anything. Some of us, we're very quick to write a check for something. But it is not enough. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when we think about why we should give, I know in Malachi 3, it talks about being cursed with a curse. Don't give because you know that if you don't give, there's a curse. Your motivation to give should not be because there's a curse attached to not giving. And at the same time, your motivation to give should not be because, after all, Jesus Christ said that if I give, it's going to be given to me. And so it's a money doubling process. The more I give, the more I'm going to receive. Investment, thank you. The investments people are talking, you know. It's an investment, so the more I put in, the more I get out of it. That shouldn't be the motive. Last week we were talking about grace, and we said that, you know, love precedes grace. That love precedes grace, that God loved so much that he gave his son. Love made him do it. And in the same way, our giving should be born out of love. Not because of the expectations we have, not because of what we hope to get from it, not because of the dangers that might be associated with not doing it. So if I don't give, man, I don't want a curse on my head, so I better give. Or I give, okay, God, I've given £5 today. I'm actually expecting, you know, at least I should get £5 or £10, right? Lord, I've invested my time to come for. I went to minister somewhere a couple of weeks ago, and for some reason I ended up talking about the choir. And I told them that theirs is still okay because their choir sits by the side, so you don't see them often. But you know, with our choir, they're directly in front of me. So it's easy to pick on the choir, for example. And I was going to say, you know, you say, oh, Lord, I came to choir practice yesterday, so I've given my time to you. Now you have to come through for me. God will come through for you, but that shouldn't be your motive. Praise God. Giving is a grace, and understanding is important. You need to understand why you do what you do. Otherwise, it will be, you know, you'll be mechanical and you will not be committed to it. If you have an understanding of what you're doing, then you can really commit to it. Malachi 3:11, there's something there. It says, God will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. We talked about the blessings of tithing. But, you know, and someone pointed it out, it's not just about paying tithes. It's about giving in totality. You're offering your tithe yourself. It says God will rebuke the devourer. And you ask yourself, does that then mean that if I give, there'll be no challenges? Because someone was explaining that, you know, the devourer, to devour. For those of us that watch cartoons, some of us big children, remember Taz? That guy can eat anything and everything. Taz just devours. Everything goes. And you know, there's some people like that. They can eat a house and they just keep going. And God has blessed some people with a stature that even if they eat the house, you won't know. it's so painful. Because some, it's painful because some of us, we drink a cup of water and you know, the stomach pops out. Some people know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. I drink a cup of water and you're already looking bloated. And then you see someone, they eat first course, second, third, fourth, and they finish, they stand up. And you're thinking, sir, do you want to eat? Praise God. The devourer can come. But God said he will rebuke the devourer. So I'm giving to God, I'm giving my time, my all, everything. It doesn't mean challenges won't come. But what you know is that when those challenges come, God has got your back. God will fight your cause. He will stand for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because some people might say, oh, but I paid my tithe. So why is this thing happening? I gave my offering. Why is this thing happening? God will cause it to cease in Jesus' name. Very quickly, we're not good, because I'm not dwelling on tithe, and I'll just mention this. Who's the tithe for? There was an interesting debate about who the tithe is for. I mean, we see a few instances in the scripture about, you know, in the Old Testament, tithes were spent. In Numbers 18:24, we see tithes meant for Levites. In Deuteronomy 14:23 and downwards, that's an interesting one. It talks about the individual paying the tithe and spending it to feast for himself. So tithing is also for you. In Deuteronomy 26:12, we see the tithe being spent not just for the Levites. Can you go to Deuteronomy 26:12? It says, when you have finished laying aside all the tithes of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levites, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled. So it's not just one set of people. How do we apply that in this present age? We're all here. Yes, let's feast. Let's bring into God's house and let's feast. Let us provide for the needy. Let us help those who are in need at some point. Let us support the ministry, God's ministers. Praise the Lord. When we talk about giving, I said it's not about money. But oftentimes, we focus on money. And I ask myself, what should be our disposition when it comes to money? I think there are four things that we shouldn't do. And I said the four don'ts. First is you don't trust in money, or you don't put your hope in money. Granted, the Bible says, you know, money answers all things, right? But don't trust in money. 1 Timothy 6:17. 1 Timothy 6:17. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches. Don't put your trust in money. The Bible says sometimes, you know, money can grow wings and fly off. So if your focus is, I have this abundant savings, I'm sorted. One of my brothers is not here right now. He doesn't like the word save for a rainy day. Because he believes that, you know, if you're saying you're saving for a rainy day, does that mean you're not depending on God, you're not trusting in God? But imagine that money you saved for a rainy day, and you're so confident, you know, I've got that account somewhere. Man, banks close up, they fold up, don't they? Investments go down the drain. That's how money grows wings. The people that put money, and some will say, no, I won't put it in the bank. Ooh. They put it under their pillows. The day that spark from the socket goes. You know, it becomes ashes. Don't trust in money. We're not to serve money. Some of us, we worship money. That is, you know, that is our priority. Man, money says go, I go. Money says jump, how high do I need to jump? Leicester City won the Premier League. Now, be true to yourself. I'm going to ask a question. Be true to yourself. How many of you thought, even for a second, odds of 5,000 to 1? 5,000 to 1, that means £1. 5,000 pounds. I don't bet. But if I had put £10, 50,000. Is that not 50,000 pounds? You see, they're calculating in front. Thank God for the choristers. Matthew 6:24. Some people actually, it's all about money, and they'll do anything it takes. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and love the other and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon, money. They're diametrically opposed. You can be loyal and serve money and make it all about getting money and have time for God. So don't serve money. Don't love money. The Bible says that the love of money. 1 Timothy 6:10. And we shouldn't make it our priority. Don't love money, don't make it. Actually, from verse 9, please. 1 Timothy 9:10. It said, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Those who desire to be rich. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It shouldn't be our priority. I want to make money. I want to make money. I want to get money. I want to get wealth. The Bible says it is God that gives the power to get wealth. Some version says to make. It is God that gives that power. So it shouldn't be our priority. So who then should we? So we're saying, you know, don't love it, don't prioritize it, don't trust it, don't serve it. But we're being encouraged to give. Who are we to give to? Who do we give to? Initially, I was going to say you give to the poor. But you don't just give to the poor. I'd rather the word the needy. Even someone that's not poor can be in need at some point in time. And it's being able to recognize the need. You give to the needy. Proverbs 19:17. It says, "Whoever gives to the poor lends to the Lord." If you give to the poor, if you give to the needy, it's like you're making an investment. It says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given." Not the poor. God will pay back. So in a sense, the investment thing comes in. You give to the poor, you lend to God, God will pay back. We've said that shouldn't be our motive for doing it. But there's that expectation to do it. In Matthew 6:2, it talks about when we give to the needy. It doesn't say if. It says when. Therefore, when you do your charitable deed, when you do it, there's an expectation for you to do it. You have to do it. When you do your charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet. Not if you do it. we are to give to the poor. I mean, so many verses. Proverbs 14:31 tells us that, you know, the one who is generous to the needy honors his maker. If you're generous to those in need, you're honoring God. If you give to those in need, you honor God. So is it just the needy we're to give to, or the poor? And that's why I said, you can also give to the rich. You can give to those in need. I once heard a preacher giving a testimony, and she said that the Lord told her that she should start giving to those that are richer than her, not those that are, you know, less well-to-do. That's the secret. And now, maybe the Lord told her that. Possibly the Lord did tell her. But is that a rule? Proverbs 22, verse 16. Proverbs 22, verse 16. It says, he who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. And you have to ask yourself, you're giving to the rich, you can come to poverty. That's what the Bible says. But God can instruct you to give to the rich. Is that a general rule? Be sensitive to what God is telling you. And if God told me to do that, it doesn't mean you all have to start doing that. Praise God. Praise God. You have to ask yourself, what's the motive? If I give to my sister because I know, man, she's boxed up, so just £10 for you, so that tomorrow she gives me that £1,000 check. You're a very generous man. And she blesses me with £1,000. I've made £990. Motives matter. I remember when I was doing my national service, one of my fellowship members in university, I got to this state and I found out the guy was a commissioner. I'm like, whoa. This slim man that I knew on campus, now a commissioner, you know, a state commissioner. So I was like, I know him now, so let's go chat. So me too, I went to the state house to go and see the man. And I told them to say, okay, that a tax fund from UI, because he would not, you know, when people become big, they tend to forget you. So I had to look for a way so that he'll remember me. So I said, yeah, just tell him that a tax fund was the fellowship I was going to, that a tax fund from UI, University of Ibadan, you know, is outside. And he said, come in. And we sat down and we talked. And when we finished talking, the man was going to give me money. Man, I was a smart boy. I started calculating and I thought, he's giving me maybe, I can't remember how much it was now. And I thought, I'll collect this money, I'll spend it. And that's it. I told him not to, that no, it's okay. I should give me his card. You know, just, you know, give me your card with your private number on it. Why give me fish? Man, wisdom is profitable, isn't it? I pray that God will continue to give us wisdom and to do the right things at the right time, to make the right choices. What is our motive behind giving people? But then, so we should give to the needy. The question then is, can we give to God? Can we give to God? And if we can give to God, what can we give to God? We read just now that whoever, you know, gives to the poor lends to the Lord. So indirectly, you give to God in that instance. But the funds, the resources, the things you give, Is God going to use it? I say no. Romans 11:35 and 36. It says, "All who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him." 36. "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever." Who has first given to God that God should give back to him? It says everything is through him, through God. Everything belongs to God. Psalm 24, verse 1 tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of therein. Everything belongs to him. So what can you give him? You can, if you're giving money, God is not going to spend your money. God wouldn't spend your money. Psalm 50, verses 9 to 13. Psalm 50, verses 9 to 13. It says, "I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat of the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?" No. Actually, go on to verse 14. It says, "Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." Offer to God thanksgiving. That is what you can give to God. Your praise, your worship, your thanksgiving. John 4:23-24 tells us God is spirit. The time has come when he's seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. That is what God desires. When we were in the worship session, I was a bit afraid. Because I looked around. This is what blank looks during worship. Some of us seem spaced out, as if we're forced to be here, or we don't want to be here, or we're just, you know, beating our time for whatever reason. Many times God says, you know, "Test me, try me." The passage that came to mind was Joshua when he was talking to the children of Israel. I read Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the rivers and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were in the other side of the rivers, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I don't know who God is speaking to with that passage. But make a conscious decision. Make a choice. Do I want to serve God? And if I'm going to serve God, I want to go all out. And God is saying, try me. Try me. If you want to try God for 3 months, for 6 months, for 1 year, give your totality to God and see if God won't come through for you. Don't be a mediocre Christian. Don't serve God. Don't worship him because it's in vogue. Don't go to church because your friends go. Don't go for midweek services because some member of the follow-up team has been hacking you that we're not seeing you. Don't serve God because anybody's putting a pressure on you to serve him. Make a conscious decision to serve him, to worship him, to give your totality, your everything to him, and see if he won't come through for you. It's not me. There's nothing I can do. But it's between you and God. And see what God will do for you. So give of yourself, give your time, give your resources, give your worship, your reasonable service to him, and see what he will do for you. So the final thing I'll just talk about is, how do you give to God? Or how do you give? I keep saying to God, but not just to God, but how do you give? Now, firstly, you should give freely. Matthew 10:8 talks about the fact that you've been given freely. Sorry, you've received freely, so you should give freely. He says, freely you have received, freely give. You should give out of free will. You should be generous when you give. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Be generous when you give. 2 Corinthians 9:6. It says, but I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. You want to increase, be generous in your giving. And verse 7 of that same chapter, you should give cheerfully. Give cheerfully. It says, let each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give out of compulsion. Don't give because, you know, that you've been mandated to give. Don't give because there's that pressure on you to give. Give because you want to give. Give willingly. Give freely. Give cheerfully. Give generously. And you'll be surprised what God will do for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We talked about tithing in Sunday school, but it goes beyond tithing. How much is 10%? So many preachers out there, and you go on the website, you see so many. Many claim, you know, tithing is not in the New Testament. Yes, the New Testament doesn't tell us to tithe. The Old Testament teaches tithing, 10%. The New Testament harps on love. And it goes on about giving everything. He talks about people who, because of the love they had for the brethren, gave their all. Paul talked about these Macedonians who, you know, even in their poverty, went out of their way to give. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, we read about, you know, the disciples that were selling what they had so that there would not be any need in the house of God, amongst the community of believers. Now, what is 10%? Thank God for grace that abounds. The grace to give can spur you to go way beyond the 10%. So don't get bogged down that, oh, I have to give 10%. Man, if we start testimonies of how God has come through. You know, sometimes you look at your salary. Now, let's forget salaries. You look at your allowance. I remember when I was in uni, a friend of mine said to me once, he was like, how does your dad expect you to survive? And what made him say that? Okay, I don't think my monthly allowance was up to 50p. I've just converted it. It wasn't up to 50p, but let's say I was collecting 50p. Most of my friends were collecting £1.50. And this guy was like, ah, man, your dad must be mean. How does he expect you to survive on 50p? Out of that 50p, I pay my tithe. it's something, there's some things we learn. And there's some things better learned when we're younger because it sticks. I don't think twice about things like that. And I'm trying to teach my children to, they pay their tithe. They're paying their tithes. It's better to learn it while we're younger. As we get older and, you know, this money starts rolling in, when we couldn't give out of 50p, we couldn't give 5p, it's when we have £5,000 we'll give. What do we have that has not been given to us? That wonderful job, that money is coming in, that you don't even know what's in your account. You know, thank God for His grace. There was a time when I was back home, and thank God that that time has returned. I don't look at my account to see what is in the account. I was working. I knew my account was funded. I spend, and I don't bother looking. And then I came to do my master's in the UK. Wow. And I started counting every penny. You know, the money was just going down, down and down and down. A friend of mine, I'm going to round up on this. A friend of mine came to Leicester yesterday after about 14 years. And I'm like, Leicester City won the Premier League. Now you remember that you know Leicester. He was traveling back to Nigeria last night. And he had to come to Leicester, and he went to the stadium, King Power Stadium, to go and get some souvenirs. I'm like, now you know Leicester. After almost 14, 15 years. But, you know, we were talking, and we're talking about how, you know, the a la carte of this world and the PMP. Anyone know a la carte? Yeah? Some of us have been around there, right? All these people are, you're blessed. You know, you don't even know what a la carte is. Sausage Factory. You see? Thank God, because it's taken us to greater heights. One of my friends went back to Nigeria because the supervisor told him he doesn't know how to put tomatoes on sandwich. And he was like, first class economics, MSc economics. I don't know how to put tomato on sandwiches. He carried his bag and baggages and went back home. The guy that came yesterday, he was like, man, all the days of doing postman with an MBA. You know, the MBA postman carrying bags around and delivering post. That he just thought to himself that, man, God, what am I doing here? Straight, he went to buy a ticket and went back home. Straight. If you're not where God wants you to be, I pray that we'll not labor in futility in the mighty name of Jesus. This guy's now, every weekend, is dining with ministers from carrying postman's bag with an MBA. And I have digressed, haven't I? But what's the point? What's the point I'm making? Let's give cheerfully. Let's give willingly. Let's give generously as God has called us. Let us trust God at His word. Let us challenge God if need be. But you need to be faithful to God. It takes grace to give. It takes grace. Shall we rise to our feet to pray?